Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome in Tuesday edition, Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have got so many different stories to get to with all of you, but I want to begin here with a pretty, I think it's fair to say, blockbuster poll finding. It's rare we say a blockbuster poll finding from USA Today. Joe Biden's approval rating has fallen all the way down to 41%, according to USA Today. Only 32% of independents say Biden is doing a good job. 55% of people disapprove of the job that Joe Biden is doing. Again, this is a USA Today poll. Only 26% of Americans approve of the job Biden has done withdrawing from Afghanistan. 39% approval on the economy, and even COVID, which was to be the saving grace of Joe Biden, 50% now approval and falling there. Bunch of other stories that we are going to get hit. I'm going to hit Buck with all that data and see what he thinks here momentarily. You got doctors saying they don't want to serve the unvaccinated in South Florida. Budget drama in the House of Representatives with moderate Democrats demanding a vote on infrastructure before they will support the $3.5 trillion Bernie Sanders budget. Afghanistan mess, a debate over what the word stranded means. That's how strangled the messaging has become in Joe Biden's White House. And we've got more COVID madness. LSU, yes, the Bayou Bengals are now requiring either vaccines or negative tests to go to college football games this fall. They join Oregon and Oregon State. This is going to be wildly controversial all over the South, where people are not supporting vaccine passports. But Buck Sexton, we have been talking about what the impact of Afghanistan, this unmitigated disaster from Joe Biden, would be, and whether it might connect to failures on the border, failures on the economy, failures on COVID, failures across the board when it comes to public safety murders in particular. 41% approval, 32% among independent voters. This is unheard of level collapse for a Democratic president. I can't even remember in you and mine's lives any Democratic president who was ever this low on the flowchart.
Remember back in the day when there was that moment with the State Department, Clay, where Hillary Clinton was a Secretary of State, and a question, a pretty innocuous question, it would seem, came up with, well, what did Hillary Clinton, this was toward the end of her tenure, what did Hillary Clinton accomplish? Like, what are the things that she did? Because we heard about how she traveled everywhere, and there was the most telling silence and then stumble, stumble, nonsense, nonsense that I think occurred in the entirety of the Clinton era in the State Department. I mean, it just was, the answer was, there was no answer because there were no accomplishments. Nothing that anybody would recognize as such. We are at the place already, and this is what you're getting into with this polling data, where not only, I mean, early on we saw with Biden, with the executive orders, the kind of things that he signed, that he was willing to be a pass-through and a Trojan horse for the left, right? It was right in the beginning. Keystone XL pipeline. Why do you do that? Why do you get rid of that? Well, because you want to just throw something to your left-wing environmentalist base. There is no rational policy reason. And that was just one of many, right? Remember the executive orders? So we saw that he was that, but there was still this belief that could linger, that he would follow through on the promises he made of the campaign. I'm going to crush the virus, not the economy. We're going to restore normalcy. We're going to restore America's standing in the world, whatever that really means. And all these things that he said, we are already seeing in year one. It's not that he's not following through on this and accomplishing it. He's going in the opposite direction. There's no good case to be made that Biden is not year one a disaster on everything that matters, including the promise to get us back to normal from COVID, by the way.
He can't even, Buck, read off of a teleprompter now without me thinking he might collapse. The way he walks when he leads the teleprompter, he's 8 months in. And I don't want to over-exaggerate here because I don't think we are. A 41% approval rating is a unmitigated disaster for Democrats. And I have to wonder whether they are going to question a lot of these moderates, Kristen Sinema, Joe Manchin, the 10 House Democrats, the 7 who are in districts that were won by Donald Trump that are still representing in the House, whether some of these people are going to say, we're not going to support this $3.5 trillion budget bill. And look, 41% is, I mean, even with the failed polling that was surrounding Donald Trump, Trump almost never got down that low. And I just don't see anything that's going to happen that's going to raise Biden back up. I mean, there have to be so many people in the White House now because they do their own polling, right? And they have some version of this. But to have a 41% approval rating in USA Today, which it's important to note, Buck, is not exactly known as a rabidly conservative polling organization. This is every alarm bell known to mankind has to be going off in the White House.
The silver lining, far be it for me to find the silver lining for the Biden administration, this White House, Clay. But if you were asked to find one, it would be, of course, for us, I mean, for people on the right, there's, I don't know, it's bittersweet because there's the victory dance moment of we were right. This guy's a deteriorating, bumbling, stumbling clown. It was reckless and dishonest to foist him after his basement hiding and all the election changing and rule breaking that went on. It was reckless and dishonest to foist him upon the American people. So you and I can sit here and say, we told you so. But we also want what's best for the country. I see what's going on in Afghanistan. I see what's going on at the southern border. I see what's going on with the rise in crime in major U.S. cities. And now that level staying far elevated above where it was in terms of shootings and murders. And I say, these are the things, these are the nuts and bolts of what you really care about when it comes to political leadership. And the Biden administration is failing. The silver lining, if I could find one, for the Biden team is that, Clay, it's so bad in year one. To what you were saying a second ago, how do you turn this around? It's so bad in year one that year two, it feels like there's nowhere to go but up. If he can, he's not facing a midterm election this fall. If he were, I think anybody who's being honest would say it would be a catastrophic loss for Democrats. They're lucky that he's screwing up so badly year one, because year two, you got to think is going to be better. Although, what has Afghanistan shown us? This Biden administration is capable of going below our lowest expectations when it comes to competence, wisdom, and strategy.
Yeah, and I actually think that, Buck, things can get worse, because if you dive into these numbers, first of all, you know how hard it is to have a 26% approval rating on something? 26% approval on his Afghan withdrawal right now. I mean, that means that Democrats are all refusing to even stand.
I mean, I think cold sores have a 26% approval
rating.
That's
what I'm saying. I mean, that's hard to get 26% approval rating. 32% approval rating for independents. These are people who are not affiliated with one party or the other. And the only thing that's holding up for him right now, Buck, and this is why I think it can get a lot worse, he's still got a 50% approval rating on COVID. And let me play this from Dr. Fauci, your boy, saying that things might be able to get back to normal by the spring of 2022. Play cut 12.
If we can do that with the people who have been infected, get them revaccinated, the people who are unvaccinated now, that 90 million people, get them vaccinated, I think we can get a degree of overall blanket protection of the community that as we get into the early part of 2022, getting through the winter, which could be complicated by influenza, by respiratory syncytial virus, that as we get into the spring, we could start getting back to a degree of normality.
You know, he likes to use the longer version of words, interstitial, whatever, whatever, influenza instead of flu. Because, Clay, he wants you to think that he's still smart and you should listen to him. This guy, I swear, there are very few people in government who make me angry to the point where I want to start breaking things and cursing loudly. that they still put him on TV is just horrific. That anyone listens to him is mind-blowing. And I just feel like never has a man so unimpressive been wrong so often with terrible consequences for so many. I've never seen anything like this before.
15 days to stop the spread has now turned into 2 years to stop the spread. And here's what I think is significant
best,
about this.
At best, by the way. At best, 2 years.
And so that's why I think things can get worse for Biden, because you and I have been saying the expectation, I think it's reasonable, is that as we go into the fall and the winter, that the Delta variant, COVID, whatever other variant is going to be circulating by then, is probably going to continue to rise. That's what the data would reflect, the number of cases. And Biden is just going to be sitting there sort of impotently without any answers. And the only thing that he's been able to stay a bit above water on is COVID. But by the fall, winter, people are going to say, hey, it's on you now. 8 months in, 10 months in, a year in, you can't point to any issues now with Donald Trump. You told us you were going to fix this, and you haven't. And combining that with all the other failures, Buck, you were saying, like, hey, if I'm a Democrat, here's why I'm optimistic. Democrats.
Not optimistic. There's a silver lining, right?
But the silver lining, right? Yeah. That things can't get worse. I think that some Democrats right now, as they work through the budget, I think that they may just say, screw it, we're going to get destroyed next year, but we've got to get through this budget right now, because otherwise we're not going to be able to accomplish anything. And the thing I wonder is whether all these moderates, and they do exist in the Democratic Party, are going to say, hey, we'll support you on infrastructure, but this budget is dead on arrival. That's what they should be saying if they want to keep their seats next year. I'm not sure whether they're going to be willing to do it, but that's what they should be saying. And this is, 41% approval. That's unheard of for a Democratic president. Think about all the positive media attention he's gotten, Buck, and that still we've reached that level.
Can it get worse for Biden? We can put that one to all of you out there. 800-282-2882. Or has he reached rock? I think we all know we know it could be worse. It could actually get worse, Clay, in a matter of hours, just based on what's happening in Afghanistan. This presidency is embattled right now.
Yes.
And it could go from hanging to a thread to abject catastrophic collapse, depending on what Mullah Baradar.
We need to talk about it.
And a bunch of Taliban folks, because there was a meeting. We're asking the Taliban for things now. Not asking. Let's come back to some of that in a minute here. But if we've learned anything since 2012, it's that there's nothing quite as important as a powerful, I'm sorry, 2020, there's nothing quite as powerful as your immune system functioning at its top level. That's why over 20 years ago, naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black of Texas invented Texas Superfood. This is the original superfood. Here's what it is. 55 vine-ripened fruits and vegetables, plus probiotic and digestive enzymes that allow you to build your body's defense from the inside out. I learned from Dr. Black years ago that your immune system's job is to detect, deflect, and destroy pathogens that you come into contact with. So you need the strongest immune system you can have. And fruits and vegetables and all the vitamins and minerals and good stuff they've got are essential to that process. But do you eat enough fruits and veggies? Well, with Texas Superfoods, you will. Plus those amazing probiotics and digestive enzymes. Make sure your GI tract is functioning at its top level. So if you can't, won't, or don't eat all your fruits and veggies every day, Texas Superfood was made for you. Start boosting your immune system for under $2 a day. Go to TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55. That's TexasSuperfood.com/buck or call 855-TEXAS-55.
Welcome back to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. This is Buck, and you see the headlines and you get one sense of the story. Here's from the Associated Press. Biden decides to stick with the August 31st final pullout from Kabul. You might think to yourself, well, hold on a second. Why would Biden do that? I mean, he must have come up with some new ingenious plan to get greater efficiency out of the evacuation flights they're running. Maybe they had some secret contingency, Operation XYZ that they're now instituting that's going to get people out even faster. You might think that because of the way the stories are posed here, but that's actually not what's happening. There's also reporting on how the CIA director Burns met with Mullah Baradar, the head of the Taliban, and asked, hey, can we have an extension? So on behalf of the Biden administration, Clay, there's a request for an extension for the evacuation for what people are calling Biden's Dunkirk, which it does certainly feel a lot like that.
Yeah.
And the Taliban said no. And now the compliant media is reporting on this as though the Biden administration made this decision. This is like someone who gets fired saying, you can't fire me. I've already quit. That's not how it works.
Are you suggesting, Buck Sexton, that our strongly worded letter to the Taliban letting them know that if they didn't play nice, that there were going to be significant UN consequences did not make the Taliban actually play nice? This is embarrassing. This is a complete failure, an abrogation of leadership by Joe Biden. And the rule used to be we don't negotiate with terrorists. Now we are not only negotiating with terrorists, Buck, we are allowing the terrorists to dictate terms to us. This is humiliating. And if Joe Biden had a spine or a functional military that had a spine, this would not be happening.
I think the Taliban understands U.S. politics on this issue pretty well. And they realize that the last thing Joe Biden wants to have to do is go on TV and say, we are reopening major hostilities against the Taliban because we've suffered major U.S. casualties, civilian and military, on the ground from a massive Taliban assault. So they've got him. I mean, my friend Jim Carafano from the Heritage Foundation wrote a piece in the New York Post where he called this the biggest hostage crisis ever.
Yes.
And I mean, they haven't quite been taken hostage, but they aren't just hanging out because they missed their flight to the Bahamas. And if you listen to Jen Psaki talking about this, which we should get to in a moment here, she really does seem to take this attitude of no big deal. You know, it's like they missed their Southwest flight and there'll be another one any moment now. No, Clay, they're in imminent danger and the White House isn't instilling a whole lot of confidence that they're going to get every American out by August 31st.
Yeah, and honestly, she's arguing about whether or not Peter Ducey can use the word stranded, when I think it's pretty fair to say that the literal definition of the word stranded would reflect that if you are unable to leave the place that you are currently in, that you are, in fact, stranded. And I think that that's a valid position that she could put in place. By the way, speaking of stranded, a lot of you are stranded with really bad cell phone companies. And you need to end that right now and join my friends at Pure Talk. They actually came out to the house. They're in Nashville right now, Buck. We talked with these guys. These are fantastic, very trustworthy people. My own son, my 13-year-old, is using his Pure Talk phone, and he has got unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data for just $30 a month. You can save with Pure Talk. You get to keep the number that you already have up to $800 a year for the average family of four out there. They're saving me money. They can save you money as well. Why wouldn't you sign up today? Listen to me. It's easy. Get your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. Get that cell phone in your hand right now. You get 50% off your first month. That's #250, say Pure Talk. You get the option to receive a one-time auto-dialed text message from Pure Talk. Sign up today. Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Appreciate all of you spending your Tuesdays with us, breaking down a lot of different topics. One of the biggest issues the Biden White House has, aside from a president who can barely read or walk or maintain functional capabilities, is even the people who surround Joe Biden keep saying dumb things. The president is having to bail out some of his spokespeople, including Jen. I was on vacation during the biggest collapse in American foreign policy in my life, Psaki, who said two really stupid things, Buck, yesterday in the press conference.
Only
the
two?
First one. Yeah, only two. Well, I'm only going to focus on two. These are demonstrably false statements that are incredibly dumb. The first one, you can play cut five here, is arguing that there are not American citizens and translators and people who have assisted us stranded in Afghanistan. Listen to this. When we know, and in fact, in hour two, we're going to talk to one person who is stranded in Afghanistan. We know that this is actually true, even though Jen Psaki says it's false.
First of all, I think it's irresponsible to say Americans are stranded. They are not. We are committed to bringing Americans who want to come home, home. We are in touch with them via phone, via text, via email, via any way that we can possibly reach Americans to get them home if they want to return home.
There are no Americans stranded is the White House's official position on what's happening in Afghanistan.
I'm just calling you out for saying that we are stranding Americans in Afghanistan when we have been very clear that we are not leaving Americans who want to return home. We are going to bring them home. And I think that's important for the American public to hear and understand.
They're just like not stranded, Clay. They're like a little delayed. You've got to be kidding me. I mean, the fact that you have the White House press secretary here, first of all, clearly just taking a swipe at the only guy who consistently gets to ask or is willing to ask real questions in the press corps that make the Biden administration a little uneasy, and that she would dig in on this, Clay. It's the definition of stranded.
It's a lie. I've got the definition of stranded right here in front of me, Buck. Here is the definition of stranded: left without the means to move from somewhere. There are a lot of people, it seems to me, Buck Sexton, who are left without the means to move from somewhere right now in Afghanistan. Literally, they are stranded.
I can only imagine if you're an American right now and you're already, first of all, very frightened. And I've talked to people who are in contact with Americans on the ground still just in the last couple of days. You're very concerned about what's going to happen. And you look, it is very concerned. There's no way around this, right? This is a dangerous situation. It's a volatile situation, fissile. And those people are concerned. They've already got to be fuming over the idiocy of the Biden administration, the grotesque incompetence, the monumental stupidity. And then you add this into the mix, you know, you start to wonder, are they just like, I'm going to walk over the border with Pakistan and take my chances. Like, these people are out of their minds.
Choose your battles, right? Arguing over the definition of the word stranded when you are in the wrong is just flagrantly inaccurate. Like, you can say, hey, I understand some people who want out are not able to get out right now. We are going to try and we are going to get everyone out, right? This is not I'm always astounded. We talk for a living, Buck. So I'm always astounded by the incompetence of people who talk for a living in government. I feel like I could go do a press briefing for a Democratic or a Republican president, prepare for a couple of hours, and do a good job. As a lawyer, you advocate for things all the time that you may not personally believe in. This is not the world's most difficult job.
But I think it's also the White House here showing you, and White House staffers showing you, that there's a sensitivity to, oh gosh, Fox News has a reporter who's got me cornered here, and that upsets them almost more than anything else. It's the optics control that they're so worried about, because now they're finally in a place. How do they handle the border? They have the media not cover it. That's an enormously consequential editorial decision made by major newspapers and you know, cable news
just
channels.
Just to pretend it doesn't exist.
Except for one, all across the country. It's like it there's no problem at the border because they just won't talk about it, right? Similar thing with crime going on right now. If you had a Republican president and you had the rise in crime you have over the last, that continued into this year after the lockdowns ended, you would have stories about it all the time. This is one of those issues where, because we have Americans who are imminently in harm's way, thousands of them, we don't even know, 10,000, 15,000, who knows, who are in contact with people back in the States because they still have comms, they still have phones. They can't ignore this, Clay, and they were ready to take a victory lap on it too, right? They were there. Joe Biden's speech from a month ago was supposed to set up how he was a great leader on foreign policy.
September 11th. You know, right. The reason he wants out by August 31st is because 20 years after September 11th, he wanted to be able to have a speech saying, I ended this war. We're all back in America now.
And this has blown up in the administration's face in a way that even their staunchest allies in the media cannot hide, cannot cover up for. And that's why there is this scramble. That's why you have a circumstance where the White House press secretary would get caught up in saying something so dumb, because her first goal, and you know this, her first goal is not to provide information necessary for the proper consideration of America as a republic where people actually elect their leaders. Her primary goal is to try to crush Fox News, prevent conservative media from scoring points against Biden, and lead the easily misled into thinking that Joe Biden is not a blanking moron. That's her primary goal.
That is accurate. And what I would say, Buck, is significant here is this failure is cutting through. Even without the media having aggressively covered Joe Biden, 32% approval rate among independents, Buck. 26% approval rate among for the Afghan withdrawal. And by the way, I'd like to know who the 26% are. You know, most people are busy. Most people are busy in their day-to-day life, Buck. They don't have time to sit around and monitor every little nuance of the news. But when you see that the Taliban took over Afghanistan, when you see the footage, even if it's just an occasional still photograph, and you see the incompetence, it is cutting through. And I think a lot of Americans are watching Joe Biden speak. And again, they hid him and they kept him in the basement and he barely talked for his entire campaign. And they're thinking, my God, I don't even know if this guy's going to be able to finish reading what's off the teleprompter in front of him every single day.
I keep seeing headlines. Biden won't extend deadline is what the, that is not
they're
the headline.
Trying to spin it.
The headline should be Taliban will not extend deadline. That's the world we're actually in right now, folks.
Yes.
And I hate having to say that out loud, but they have on this issue checkmated the Biden administration. There's no way around this. There's no reality in which they aren't having to go and ask. I mean, they're already in communication with Taliban checkpoints and Taliban leadership saying, please, please let the Americans through. And now we've asked for an extension of the deadline. They've said no. I got to tell you, if I just feel like if Donald Trump were commander in chief, there would be a very different feeling here, because the Taliban would have to take into account, oh, this guy might actually decide that he's going to punch back and punch back even harder if we so much as harm one hair on one head of an American. I just think it would be a different conversation underway. I think they can see, because they're not watching MSNBC and believing that it's objective. I think the Taliban can see that Joe Biden is a clown and they've got him. That's what I think.
I think you're right. And, you know, you don't have to be a genius to recognize when you have a strategic advantage at play. I mean, look, think about it, Buck. They know that Joe Biden is an incompetent leader because they made the decision to take over Afghanistan before August 31st. They could have just waited and said, hey, we'll try to take over this country come September 1. Instead, with the Americans all still there, they had so little respect for us and our leadership that they decided to go over and begin the process of overrunning the entire country. I don't know how much more clear cut the lack of respect could be. You saw the picture of the Taliban reenacting Iwo Jima.
They are trolling.
They're mocking us.
They are trolling us. That's absolutely what's going on right now. Clay, you know, they're actually coming for kids now with vax mandates, too, right? You know, that's the next step in all of this.
Oh, yeah. LSU's requiring
children,
to go to a football game.
They want 5 to 11-year-olds now. Oh, we'll bring you the proof. So we think we're having a discussion still about whether vax mandates are coming for basically all adults in America. And that's happening, but they're also coming for your kids, folks. I'll tell you about it. We got some details for you. They want your kids to get the jab as many times as is necessary. According to Fauci, the little lab coat tyrant moron. We'll come back to this. If you're investing in the stock market, you're going to want to know about Carnivore Trading. The traders at Carnivore are a group of Wall Street legends that are now sharing information on their own trades, giving you and me the benefit of great experience that they've gathered together over decades in the industry. Here's what a listener shared with us recently. Quote, I'm up over 100% since May 15th. You are the real deal, Carnivore. I've canceled every other stock pick service I've ever had. Listen, you can assume your financial advisor is really working hard, spending a lot of time thinking about your account, or you can take control of your money now. I've done the due diligence, and the folks at Carnivore Trading are brilliant, authentic, and 100% transparent. I get their texts every day updating me on their moves. These guys really know their stuff. For the first time, they're inviting everyday folks like you and me to see and mirror. That's right. Just follow their explosive trades and see how you do. Right now, Carnivore will let you see their trades in real time for 2 weeks free. Go to GetOurTrades.com and use promo code USA for 2 free weeks. That's GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA, GetOurTrades.com, promo code USA. See website for terms and conditions. Past performance, not a guarantee of future earning.
Overwhelmingly, what I expect is that the adults who work in schools who actually do love kids, the vast majority of them are there because they care about children, that they'll ultimately do the right thing. Now, look, human beings do well when they have carrot and stick. So a mandate helps people to realize it's time. FDA final approval on Pfizer said it's time. Now, the Biden administration could do something else that would really help us all move forward. Speed the approval of the vaccine for the 5 to 11-year-olds. They've got to make this a central priority. Get that vaccine ready for the 5 to 11-year-olds. And then there's not even a question anymore about our schools. Everyone in a school building at that point could be vaccinated.
Welcome back to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. I wanted you to hear it from that appalling fascist, Bill de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, who's got one more year. And I got to tell you that this guy is the absolute worst. The absolute worst. It's amazing that he could be in the position he's in for as long as he's been. It's honestly depressing for the city of New York. Although there are bad mayors in major cities because they're Democrats. Let's be honest. They're leftists. And here he is saying, Clay, something that you would have thought even a few months ago would have been. First of all, his whole carrots and sticks thing makes me enraged. Like the sticks that they're beating people in Australia with because they want to say, stop acting like we have to be under martial law for two people a day dying from what is essentially now a really bad, you know, a not even a really bad flu season in Australia. It's not even a flu season. The whole thing is crazy. I think that's outrageous for an American politician at any level to speak that way. But Clay, they want to vax up your five-year-old. They want to make your five-year-old, not that you have a five-year-old, I know you got three other kids, but you see what I'm saying. Young kids must get this shot that we know does have some pretty annoying side effects in general for adults, and that lasts 8 months at best.
For a illness that has zero impact on them. I mean, I think this is important. And look, I mean, every parent has the right to make choices about their own kid's health, right? So I'm not telling you what you should or should not do. I'm just telling you this. I believe in vaccination. My kids got measles, mumps, rubella, chicken pox, all those things as young children. I'm not getting a COVID vaccine for my 6 and my 11-year-old, or for that matter, for my 13-year-old. It doesn't make sense based on risk analysis. And again, this matters, and I don't know why it's so people are so unwilling to discuss it. Kids are not under risk, by and large, from COVID at all. Kids are under less risk from COVID than they are from the seasonal flu. And I don't know about you, Buck, but I talk to a lot of parents. I've never heard any parent worried about the health of their kid from the seasonal flu. Yet the seasonal flu kills far more people on average every year, young people, than COVID does. And so this was, you know, when I talked at the Williamson County School Board, this was the argument I made. First of all, yesterday, I would encourage people to go listen to the podcast. Great discussion about the scientific evidence to support masks in schools. There is none. But this was the argument I made. Everyone has failed their kids. If the standard is you have to wear a mask and you have to get vaccinated for COVID, that standard never existed for the seasonal flu, which is far more dangerous to kids than COVID is. And I've never even heard the argument.
Clay, we've got Fauci saying we might achieve some degree of normalization if everyone does. And that's going to include your kids. See, folks, here's what they're going to do is they're going to exclude your children from school unless they get the COVID shot. That's where this is all heading. And they would say, oh, but we do this with, you know, MMR. We do this with other, but this isn't MMR. This is a very different virus with a very different reality of the longevity of giving them this vaccine. And Clay, I think that we have to see this very clearly now. They're gearing up for a winter where the mitigation measures, and I hate that term, but you know that's what they say, where the mitigation measures will be used regardless of what the numbers actually are, because it's going to be, we can't allow for a surge. We can't allow for another variant, as Fauci will say.
They keep moving the goalpost. 73%, Buck, of adults 18 and up have been vaccinated now. 73%. We were initially told if we got to 70%, we'd get back to normal. That obviously hasn't happened. 92%, I believe, of all people 65 or older have received vaccination. What they're trying to do is argue that the number of Americans now is not high enough because they're including people under the age of 12 in these numbers. Adults are the ones at risk, not kids. We have to have rational decision making. I have to keep hammering these data points because I think they matter. Rationality has to triumph before everything else. When we come back, Buck, we got a great guest talk about the situation in Afghanistan.
The No One Left Behind organization was founded years ago to make sure that we never left behind Afghan interpreters who were promised by military counterparts in this country that they would get out of Afghanistan when the time came. We'll speak to one of the founders of the organization and talk to you about the realities on the ground there, and also what's he hearing. I always want to focus first and foremost on the Americans. Can we tell them, are we going to get them out? Can we focus on that as something the news media needs to be dialed into even more? We'll come into this and then more on COVID and the mandates that I'm telling you are coming in just a few.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.